first thing I'd like to do is express my deepest appreciation for how the devotees here have been taking care of our needs, just like we're your children and you're caring for us like loving family members. And all of your team, you're very nice representatives of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we're very, very happy to be here with you. We're feeling like we are your children and you are our father and you're caring for us so affectionately.
Hariva!
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 Thank you very much. In addition to the wonderful Vaishnav hospitality of Radha Gokulananda Mandir, there's an enormous amount of history that I'm very enthusiastic to share with you about this place. The deities, the personalities behind the deities, the samadhis, very, very rich, deep insight into periods of our Gaudiya Vaishnav line that perhaps you're not so familiar with, but by hearing it will surely deepen your appreciation for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers. I'd like to start by describing the deities on the altar. We will not have darshan again until 5 o'clock if we're still here, Hari Bol, and if not, you can see pictures, because all of what we're doing will be captured in some kind of a journal, and we have some very nice pictures of the deities here. Facing the altar on our left, or the deity's right, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a deity worshipped personally by Narottam Das Thakur. And his Samadhi Mandir is in the courtyard here as well. Immediately next to Mahaprabhu is Radha Vinod, who were worshipped by Lokanath Goswami. The original Radha Vinod we will see when we go to Jaipur. And I'm very eager to go see Radha Vinod in Jaipur, because besides, the deities are amazingly merciful. The pujari is amazingly transcendental. And there's a reason why we will describe. Very unique deities. Very, 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 very amazing, unique deities, Radha Vinod. And then on our right, or Radha Vinod's left, is Radha Vijay Govinda, deities personally worshipped by Baladev Vidyabhusan. And in the front, the small Krishna deity is Gokulananda, worshipped by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So we'll go chronologically, not sequentially, across the altar to describe the life of Lokanath Goswami and how it was that he came to begin worshipping Radha Vinod. Can that door be closed? And I'll keep the sound out a little bit. The outside door. Well, Lokanath was a contemporary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip before Mahaprabhu took sannyas. And they were very, very close friends. One might wonder, why don't we hear about Lokanath in Chaitanya Charitamrita? They were so close. The answer is, it's one of the qualities of Lokanath. He was here in Vrindavan. He was sent by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He disclosed confidentially I plan to take sannyas. I will not be remaining here in Navadvip. And after I take sannyas, my plan is I will go to Vrindavan. You are my very dear friend and confidential associate. Please go to Vrindavan and prepare a place where we can stay together in Vrindavan. So Lokanath, was his life and soul was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So to be told, go away. He couldn't bear such a thought. But then, how could he say no? And how could he say yes? But how could he say no? But how could he say yes? So he was torn with this difficult instruction to fulfill. Mahaprabhu insisted, this is what I want. I will be taking sannyas and I want you to prepare some place for me. This is a service. Please go. But don't tell anyone what my plan is. So, very reluctantly, Lokanath took up the order. He went to all of the followers of Lord Chaitanya, all of the Vaishnavas in Navadvip, how many, and fell at their feet and asked for their blessings that I'm going to go to Vrindavan. I want your blessings that I will be, my spiritual life will be protected and will flourish in Vrindavan. Because of his humility and purity and sincerity, of course everyone gave their full blessings. And he came here to Vrindavan, expecting that Mahaprabhu would soon come and join him. But as destiny would have it, Mahaprabhu didn't come. And he didn't come. And he didn't come. And he didn't come. The reason he didn't come is because his lila was to go instead to Puri. So after he accepted sannyas, his plan was to come to Vrindavan, but Lord Nityananda, knowing the heart of Mahaprabhu and the mission of Mahaprabhu, made a different arrangement. He sent him to Shantipur, where all the devotees could once again be with Mahaprabhu after his sannyas, and Mother Sachi requested Mahaprabhu to go to Puri instead of Vrindavan, where there is also Krishna. And it's so much closer, and there's this natural connection between the Bengali Vaishnavas that go regularly to Puri to attend the Rath Yatra, and this way I will get news of you. And sometimes you may come to take bath in the Ganga, and then I will see you personally. So Mahaprabhu submitted to the plea of Mother Sachi. So he went to Puri. And after being in Puri for some time, on the plea of trying to find his brother who had taken sannyas, Vishwarup, although Mahaprabhu was omniscient and he knew that he had already left this world, he went on a South Indian tour. And news of Mahaprabhu's South Indian tour got to Vrindavan. And Lokanath understood he's not coming to Vrindavan. He went to South India. So you know how far it is from South India to Vrindavan? He immediately began walking to South India and went all the way to Cape Comorant only to find Mahaprabhu left South India, didn't you know? And he's returned to Puri. So at once, Lokanath went to Puri, only to find, oh, Mahaprabhu has left to go to Vrindavan. So as quickly as his two legs could carry him, he made his way to Vrindavan. And when he reached Vrindavan, he was told, oh, Mahaprabhu's here for 3 months, and he just left. He was looking for you, but you weren't here. How disappointed was Lokanath Maharaj. But immediately he wanted to go. The next morning, to find Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu appeared to him in a vision, not a dream, in a vision, and told him, "Don't become impatient, Lokanath. I've asked you to stay in Vrindavan. Now stay in Vrindavan." And very soon, the very embodiment of my personal compassion in the form of Rupa and Sanatan will come and give their association, "You please stay here and wait for them." Again, a very difficult, but what could he do? Appeared in a vision and he stayed. He stayed in Vrindavan like a wandering mendicant recluse. He was, his humility, we've already understood, his renunciation matched his humility. Totally detached from any sense of worldliness and comfort, and he found one place where he very, very much liked, because of its peaceful setting and nice kund in Kandiravan. And he was residing alone in a forest of Vrindavan, not knowing anybody, just living very, very simply. Then something happened that he found very strange. Suddenly, within his heart welled this desire to worship a deity form of Krishna. And he was wondering, where is this desire coming from? But it was very strong and became stronger and stronger. Then one day, one unknown person, a Brahmin, came to Kadiravan, where Lokanath was staying, and handed him a bag, a cloth bag, and said, "Here, this is for you." He turned around and he left. And Lokanath looked inside the bag and he saw Krishna, a deity of Krishna. And he thought, "I had this desire, but Krishna's amazing, just fulfilling a desire like that." And he began thinking, "What am I to do?" And the deity spoke to him. This is the level of Krishna consciousness of Lokanath. The deity spoke to him and said, "My name is Radhavinod." "And you wanted to worship me, and I want to be worshipped by you. So please serve me very nicely." And Lokanath replied, "But what do I have? I have nothing. I'm living in the forest in Braja." Then Radhavinod spoke again and said, "I'm hungry. Find something. Please feed me like a child." And that was the relationship. And so he's received an instruction from Radhavinod, and so he set the deity and went and gathered some roots and some flowers and whatever things he could find as edibles and made a nice offering and offered it to Radhavinod. And then, and wait till you see the deity, Radhavinod. Just remember these stories when you see the deity. And then he made a bed for the deity with soft leaves from the forest. And with other leaves, he made a fan. And just with whatever the forest life provided, he began fanning the deity and making offerings to the deity and singing songs about Krishna for the pleasure of the deity with whatever facility he had there in the forest. Amazing. So it's just Lokanath and Radhavinod in the forest of Braja, worshipping him. In his, according to Gauragonadesh Deepika, he's Manjulali, Manjari, a very confidential associate of Srimati Radharani in Krishna Leela, and here he is in Gaura Leela performing similar activities in relation to Krishna. Very confidential, intimate service. Then Rupa and Sanatan came on the order of Mahaprabhu, and they came to know of this former associate of Lord Chaitanya, Lokanath, now living in Kandiravan. So they went to meet him. It was a very happy meeting, and they invited him. This is not safe for the deity. You're okay, but who knows what may happen with the deity. Please come here to the town of Vrindavan, where you can worship very nicely and be with us also. We want your association. So he came and made his residence here. And it wasn't what we see today. It was just like a jungle, a forest, but close to the town of Vrindavan. And he continued, because his manner was very, very simple and very, very renounced, living that lifestyle, but associating with Rupa and Sanatan. And after some time, Narottam Das Thakur came to live in Vrindavan. And Narottam Das Thakur was the son of a king, but he had no interest in his kingly position and opulence and high learning. By his disposition, he was very, very, very devotional. And so, where the devotional epicenter was happening amongst the associates of Lord Chaitanya was here in Vrindavan. So he came to Vrindavan. And out of the associates that he found in Vrindavan, he was particularly inspired by the qualities of Lokanath. And Lokanath, like Gorkishore Das Babaji, had made this internal vrata that he would not accept any disciples. But Narottam very much wanted to accept Lokanath as his spiritual master. Lokanath declined. Then, understanding Lokanath's mood, but wanting to serve him, in a private, concealed manner, he served very, very humbly, extremely humbly. From here, not so far away, the river Jamuna was flowing, and every morning, Lokanath would go to the river to take his morning bath, and before taking his bath in a place by the riverbank, would answer the call of nature and go take his bath and then return to perform his worship of his deity. And Narottam would go each morning after Lokanath had done his business and would, with his own hand, clean the place so that each day Lokanath could go and the place would be clean. And as time passed, it was noticed by Lokanath that this place is always clean, and that's not possible because I'm leaving my call of nature behind me, but it's not there. I want to find out what's going on. So one morning after his bathing, he hid behind a tree to watch and see what would happen. And he saw Narottam coming with his broom to come and clean and make everything very nice. And he came out from behind the tree and challenged him, "What are you doing? You're the son of a prince. This is no service for you." Scolding. But Narottam, like Lokanath, was so humble. Said, "But I just want to serve you in some way, and this is a fit service for me to clean after you. Please allow me to take this service. I beg of you." The humility of Narottam and the sincerity and the purity of his devotion overwhelmed the resistance of Lokanath to accept a disciple, and he then yielded to the pure devotion of Lokanath and accepted one disciple in his lifetime, Narottam Das Thakur. So Narottam came and stayed here with Lokanath, and he did his worship of the Mahaprabhu deity, which is on the altar. The deity of Lokanath during the time of King Aurangzeb was taken, along with many other deities, to Jaipur, and to this day, the Radha Vinod deity is being worshipped in Jaipur. The samadhis of Lokanath and Narottam Das Thakur are right outside that door and on the other side of the courtyard. Very, very sacred places, along with the worship of their deity. Their samadhi is here. The deity to the far right is Gokulananda, next, chronologically. One of the Narottam Das Thakur, because of his super elevated position, when sent from Vrindavan by Jiva Goswami to travel throughout different parts of India and give the message of the Goswamis to people outside of Vrindavan, Narottam Das Thakur accepted as disciples two persons who were from high-class Brahmana families. Now, we said earlier that Narottam Das Thakur's father was a king, but his caste was Kayastha, like Ramananda Roy, same, where their duties are kingly duties or Kshatriya duties, but the caste is something like a clerical function, and therefore also to be considered Sudras. So Ramananda Roy considered himself to be a Sudra, although he was the governor of Madras. He considered himself to be a Sudra, employed in the service of King Prataparudra. So in a similar way, the caste of Narottam Das Thakur was considered to be that of a Sudra, and he accepted two high-class brahmanas as disciples. And the Brahminical community was really flipped out, really disturbed. And they wanted to challenge Narottam Das Thakur. A whole group of them came to the place where Narottam Das Thakur lived. And these two disciples, one of them, his samadhi is in the courtyard. Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, and the other, his name I cannot recall, they made a plan. This is in the biography of Narottam Das Thakur's life. As the Mahants were coming to have their big debate, they set up little stalls outside the town, just at the edge of the town. One was a place where they would buy some cooking pots. Another place was they would buy some pan. I don't know what Mahants are doing buying pan, but they went to the two stalls. And Ganga Narayan Chakravarti and the other, they spoke in pure Sanskrit. And the Brahmanas were amazed, pure Sanskrit. And they asked some questions of them, and they answered on the highest level of scriptural understanding in pure Sanskrit. And the Mahants thought, oh my God. If the merchants in this town are educated like this, what does that mean about Narottam Das Thakur? And if we lose in a debate with Narottam Das Thakur, that will be very embarrassing. Let's head back. So they returned and no debate took place, and Narottam Das Thakur was spared that encounter. So, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, who was a disciple of Narottam Das Thakur, had one disciple whose name was Krishna Charana Chakravarti. And after some time, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur became his student. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur asked one of the principal disciples of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur for initiation and was initiated. So there's this line of succession some generations after Narottam Das Thakur. If you look in our Bhagavad Gita, in the line of disciplic succession, you find that after Narottam Das Thakur is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And the reason is that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur included the principal acharyas and not all of the line of initiations. Because on a spiritual level, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was able to take shelter of Narottam Das Thakur, which he did, like a Shiksha Guru. But there's a Diksha line, unbroken Diksha line, coming from Mahaprabhu through Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, with his guru's blessings, came to reside here in Vrindavan from West Bengal. While in Bengal, just to give some idea of the elevated status of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur even before he came here, he was very much absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam. So much absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam that even during the monsoon season, he would sit in the middle of a field reading Srimad Bhagavatam and no rain would come upon him and he would remain undisturbed. There's a description like this where one king was passing by with his palanquin and parasol and, you know, getting jostled around in the slippery, slidey, big mess with rainy season in Bengal. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is off in the field reading Bhagavatam. He got off his palanquin in the middle of the rain and went over and paid obeisances to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, understanding what kind of a sage, what personality, who are you? That's before he came to Vrindavan. And the heat of the sun in the middle of the summer would sit reading Bhagavatam and not feel anything. That's absorption in hearing. Completely on the spiritual platform. And protected by the Supreme Lord because of that full submission to the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. So imagine, after he came here and associated with those descendants of the six Goswamis who had preserved the deep, deep, deep understandings that the Goswamis had written in their literature, what kind of an acharya he became. Those of you that have read carefully Prabhupada's purports, and whenever you find, like in Chaitanya Charitamrita or the Bhagavatam, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had the acumen that he could tell in purports how Krishna was thinking when he heard something, what he was feeling. Not by speculation, but by confidential, intimate disclosure by Krishna. Who can understand the platform of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur? Who can understand? And he came and made his residence here, right where we are. When he came here, this was Jiva Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sanatana and Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, then Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shyamananda. They had been sent to go preaching, and several generations had passed where the strong presentation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings and practices had gone way down. And that's where what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur entered. But because of his spiritual strength and his purity and his self-effulgent leadership, he brought everything back up again. Much like we find Bhaktivinoda Thakur during his time. We regularly hear about Bhaktivinoda Thakur encountering a similar situation. And this was here in Vrindavan, where things don't change so quickly. There's a lot of tradition going on here that doesn't move very quickly. By his spiritual influence, he brought enormous respectability back to Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. And remember, the deities had also been taken during the reign of Aurangzeb. The deities were gone. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was clearly the self-effulgent successor in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Next comes Baladev Vidyabhusan, a little bit about Baladev's life. Baladev was born in Orissa in the 1700s, and as a young boy, he had enormous interest in spiritual life, so much so that he wanted to get trained somewhere. He didn't know what, he didn't know where. He wanted to get trained in the pure spiritual teachings. And his parents were attached. But he was unstoppable. And as a young man, he left home and went searching all over to find something that he felt was pure so he could learn it thoroughly. And he took shelter of a Madhvacharya line, one of the mutts that Madhvacharya had set up, and became thoroughly trained in the teachings of Madhvacharya and initiated in the line of Madhvacharya. This becomes very important later on. Initiated in the Madhvacharya line. And after that training, he then requested the head teacher in that mutt, he would like to go back and visit Puri. The mutt leader was not very eager for that to happen because he had such a prized student in Baladev. But reluctantly, he gave his permission, and Baladev came to Puri near his original home. And there in Puri, along with worshipping of Lord Jagannath in pure devotion, according to the teachings of Madhva, he met a great grand disciple of Rasikananda. Rasikananda is in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and like his name indicates, he was a Rasika Bhakta in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And they made friendship right away. And Rasikananda was well trained in the Sandarvas of Jiva Goswami. You recall my describing the Gopal Bhatta requesting Jiva Goswami to write this commentary. So Rasikananda's grand disciple introduced and then trained Baladev in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya through the Sandarvas of Jiva Goswami, and he was so attracted. Such excellent, brilliant, sweet, attractive teachings. I want to go to Vrindavan and experience the bliss of the devotees in Vrindavan. So Baladev came here to Vrindavan, and the leading personality amongst the Gaudiya Acharyas was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So although he was initiated in the Madhva line and knew Madhva's teachings backwards and forwards, he was inspired by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He even requested this grand disciple of Rasikananda for initiation. But Rasikananda explained, or this disciple explained, grand disciple, explained, that cannot be done. Once you're initiated, you can't be reinitiated. But a little ceremony was performed where he accepted Mahaprabhu as his worshipful Lord and Master. And with that, his teachings. So he considered himself a Gaudiya Vaishnav in the line of Madhvacharya. And he came here and studied under Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was very elder, and Baladev was much younger, still young man. Now, contemporary to all of this, let us go to Jaipur for a moment. When we described the Madan Mohan Temple was completed around the year 1560, 1570, the Govindaji Temple around the same time, a little bit later, 1580. King Aurangzeb in 1669 from his palace in Agra saw this seven-story tall temple up on top of a hill, the Radha Govindaji Temple, with a brilliant ghee lamp from the veranda of his palace, which he couldn't stand. I have to see a Hindu temple from the veranda of my palace. He called his army and said, destroy the temples of Vrindavan. Knock off the tops of the buildings and destroy the temples. So they came on his order, and we'll see. We saw the Madan Mohan temple, the little at the top, it's broken. Compliments of King Aurangzeb. Who knows where King Aurangzeb landed in his next lifetime. The Govindaji temple was seven stories tall. Three stories are remaining. Four stories were knocked off by the soldiers themselves, dismantled and destroyed. So the deities were taken from Vrindavan town to Radha Kund when we were at the new Madan Mohan temple. The pujari said, when you go to Radha Kund, be sure to visit the Madan Mohan temple in Radha Kund, because Madan Mohan made their first stop there. They stayed there for a year. From Radha Kund, they kept moving them. For some time they went to Mathura, then for some time to Kamyavan, and then to Jaipur. The deities are now in Jaipur. So Radha Govinda and Radha Madan Mohan and Radha Gopinath and Radha Vinod and several other deities ended up in Jaipur. That's in the late 1600s. Now advance in some time, a number of generations, Jai Singh, very modestly called Jaipur after himself, and kept the deities in Jaipur. Following, he was a Krishna Bhakta, but there's a lineage of kings following Jai Singh, and one of them was a Ram Bhakta, or became influenced by Ram Bhakti, because one division of the Sri Vaishnavas, there's this northern and southern division, for those of you that know Sri Vaishnavism, and the Ramanadis, the northern division, migrated in a northerly direction, and very near Jaipur, they established a Ram temple. And friendship with the king in Jaipur was made, where the king became the benefactor or the maintainer of the temple, and so it was a very nice arrangement. They could have their temple, they could propagate their Sri Vaishnava teachings. The king was a Ram Bhakta, and several generations it was going just fine. Until one of the descendants became a Krishna Bhakta. And that was a big problem, because they might lose their bakshish, their support. And so, you know how these things go. If you don't, I'll describe it to you. A little philosophical controversy was stirred up. Hey, what's going on? How come the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are worshipping Radha Krishna? Who ever heard of Radha Krishna worship? There's Lakshmi Narayan. There's Rukmini Krishna. But where's Radha Krishna? What's the worship? Where's the conjugal relation in marriage? What is this? And For that matter, what about their disciplic succession? How can someone worship a deity unless there's a bona fide disciplic succession? It says right in the scriptures, what's their disciplic succession? And while we're at it, what about their Gayatri mantras? They have some Gayatri mantras. Where do we find these Gayatri mantras that they chant in their scriptures? You tell us. I forget which of the sing, which king it was. I'll find the name. So, the Ramanadis approached the king. The king went to the Pujaris. And the Pujaris, what do we know? We're Pujaris. We don't know all of this philosophical thing. So they sent Brahmin messengers to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Because he's the principal Acharya. He must have the answers. And he kept giving answers, but they weren't able to present the answers properly. So finally, in a confrontational way, they insisted that either we get satisfying answers. Oh, what is this disciplic succession that does not have a commentary on Vedanta Sutra? Where's their commentary on Vedanta Sutra? Hey guys, what's your answer? Where's the commentary on... Our answer is, the commentary is Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the commentary by the author himself of Vedanta Sutra, by Vyasadeva. He made his commentary. Yes, but each particular line, it must have its commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So the messenger went to Vishwanath, what do we do? Commentary on Vedanta, how do we answer all these questions? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, I'm too old to get involved in all of this wrangling business. The answers are very clear. Baladev, I'll explain all the answers to you. You go and represent the Gaudiya line and clear up this business. So Baladev went to Jaipur and met, it's a very drama filled, one can imagine, one young man against a whole army of, you know, really invested and dug in personalities that want to see, you're out. So fearlessly he met them and they presented their various questions. And he answered their questions except for commentary. He said, as far as disciplic succession, I'm initiated in the Madhva Sampradaya. They said, we can't hear from him because he's not in its proper disciplic succession. He said, I'm initiated in this Madhva Mat. In disciplic succession. So I can represent the teachings. Well, where's your commentary? Well, our commentary is Srimad Bhagavatam. No, no, no. You have to have Gaudiya commentary. So he went before Govindaji. There are different versions of this, but for 3 days, he prostrated himself straight out, Dandabhas, before Govindaji, praying to him for the capacity to properly respond to all these questions. And he then sat up, and right there before Govindaji, he began composing. In a very short period of time, there are different versions of how short, but within a couple of weeks, he wrote a whole commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Like, deep philosophical explanations. In short period of time, he said, I was just taking dictation from Govindaji and I was writing down. So the commentary became known as Govindabhasya by Baladev Vidyabhusan. I just take the credit of writing it down. Govindaji dictated. And then when it was ready to be presented, the Sri Vaishnavas were given copies to read. And as they read, they were astonished at how deep and thorough, and because commentaries have to be absolute, they're rules. without going into the details, the rules, that there must be a systematic presentation. This agrees with this, agrees with that, agrees with that. And he answered all their questions with reference to scripture. One of the questions was, why Radha? And his explanation in Vedanta Sutra, following one of the sutras that deals with the energies of the Lord, he explains that the internal energy, regardless of name, is the Lord's internal energy. In Leela, Radha and Krishna are not married, but Radha is the internal energy, and so not different than Lakshmi to Narayan, and Sita to Ram is Radha to Krishna. Her position is, she's the internal energy of the personality of Godhead. And therefore Radha Krishna worship is perfectly legitimate. So one by one by one, he addressed all their concerns. And they were speechless. Then the current king of Jaipur was very happy because now, and this is historically very significant, with a very serious challenge to the authenticity of the line of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, it was supported in a philosophical manner by Baladev Vidyabhusan and accepted by another bona fide disciplic succession, very strict bona fide disciplic succession in the Sri Vaishnava tradition. Very significant in our Gaudiya Vaishnav line. So, after completing this exchange with the Ramanadis, he then returned. The worship of the deities formerly in Vrindavan was now sanctified permanently in Jaipur, worshipped by the Gaudiya Vaishnava system and Gaudiya Vaishnava line. And Baladev then returned and began worshipping his deity Radha Vijay Govinda, giving victory, Vijay Govinda, to the teachings of Lord Chaitanya by his mercy. And so on the altar, Mahaprabhu deity of Narottam Das Thakur, Radha Vinod of Lokanath, the deity of Baladev Vidyabhusan, the Shiksha disciple of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and now the history of the deity of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. One day, here at this temple, where there wasn't a temple before, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was residing, and one Brahmin came, gifting to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur his deity of Krishna, saying, my deity appeared to me in my dream and instructed me to give him to you to worship. He wants to be worshipped by you. Sounds familiar, as with Lokanath. And the response was also familiar. He said, how can I accept this worship? I don't have anything. I'm a renunciate. How can I worship a deity without anything? That's not proper. And besides that, I don't have the qualification. I'm sorry, but I can't accept. As kind as your offer is, I can't accept. So very disappointed, the Brahmin went home. That very night, the Brahmin had another dream. In the dream, he said to the Brahmin, go back again and make the offer one more time. And the Brahmin in the dream said, but I did this already today. And he said, no. And the deity said, go again, it'll be different next time. The same night, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had a dream where the deity appeared to him in his dream and said, I want to be worshipped by you, please say yes. What could he do? The Brahmin came the next day and he accepted the worship of Gokulananda. So on the altar, the small deity in the front, Gokulananda. And just by the side of Gokulananda, so the temple is... Yeah, but the temple is Radha Gokulananda Mandir. So just by the side of Gokulananda, you'll see a little Govardhan Shila. And that Govardhan Shila has some wonderful history behind it. We asked the pujari to bring it out, and so it brought off the altar, put on a little table up close, and you could see, they've also seen them bring in their hand. It's a very small Shila that has a depression about the size of a thumb. The depression the size of the thumb is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's thumb print. He was given a Govardhan Shila. Someone had come from Vrindavan and brought for Mahaprabhu a Govardhan Shila, who worshipped that Govardhan Shila as Krishna himself. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, sometimes Mahaprabhu would hold that Shila to his heart. Sometimes Mahaprabhu would hold that Shila over his eyes while he was chanting. And he would stare at the Shila and chant, and tears would profusely come from his eyes. Seeing Krishna, I'll say it again, seeing Krishna. When seeing Govardhan, he was seeing Krishna because of his intense love. And he would move his hand over the Shila and he made an impression with his thumb on the Shila, the Govardhan Shila. You can see very clearly the impression of Mahaprabhu's thumbprint on Govardhan. After some time, being so pleased with the pure devotion of Raghunath Das Goswami, Mahaprabhu gave that Govardhan Shila to Raghunath Das Goswami to worship, along with a string of gunja berries found very prominently here in Vrindavan. And with that gift from Mahaprabhu, here's what Raghunath Das Goswami understood. Mahaprabhu is giving me residence at Govardhan. And he's giving me, through the Gunja Mala, the mercy of Srimati Radharani, represented by the Gunja Mala. That's how he took it, and that's how he personally worshipped the Shila. And the Shila is now on the altar here at Radha Gokula Nanda Mandir. So much rich history of our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition right here at this very wonderful temple. And the Samadhi Mandirs of Ganga Narayan Chakravarti and Narottam Das Thakur and Lokanath Maharaj, Lokanath Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Just here, outside in the courtyard where we're having katha and taking prasadam. So, something significant, two remaining things I'll say. Something significant about the Samadhi Mandirs I've already mentioned. In those places, the mercy, the mood and mercy of those personalities is invested. And one can contact that or invoke that by a proper mood of devotion. So when we're done, we can go before each of the samadhis and offer our prayers to these wonderful acharyas in our disciplic line, begging for their mercy. You've heard this again and you'll hear it again and again. It is part of our Gaudiya Vaishnava way of invoking the mercy, the das anudas mood of being the servant of the servant of the servant and calling upon. We'll find this in our scriptures, we'll find this in the songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas, you'll find this everywhere in the Gaudiya Vaishnava line, calling upon the mercy of the perfected souls to be merciful upon us so we can serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu more transparently and purely and perfect our lives to be instruments of Mahaprabhu's mission in this world. And that mission in this world is to distribute, to bestow love of God upon all, including ourselves. Namo Mahabalanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gora Tushe Namaha. And these personalities are the distributors of that mercy. Mahavandanyaya, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. They want to distribute it. We should want to receive it. And although they're not physically accessible, spiritually they can be accessed in these wonderful places of their worship, their bhajan, and their samadhis. Here in Vrindavan, we're in a very, 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 very special place with a very special opportunity. It's the reason that we've come here, isn't it? To receive that mercy. So let us pray from the core of our heart for the mercy of these great, great, great Vaishnavas who want to give Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Let us be eager to receive it from them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Prema Nandi Hari Bol.